Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Autastic, the Comedian's Guide to Autism.
Yes.
That is Kirk Smith over there. I am Graham Kay. If you're new to the podcast, Kirk has an autistic teenage son.
That's true.
I have an adult autistic brother.
Also true.
His is more severe nonverbal. Mine is, you know,
higher functioning.
Higher functioning. Loves Star Wars. Won't come visit me in L.A. because it messes up his routine.
I'm surprised you can't get him out in February or something.
He won't come. He's like, I have my jobs. But anyway, I love him.
Hard worker.
We have a very special episode today.
I'm excited about this episode.
Yes.
It's a big get. A big get.
A big get. We're going to let you behind the curtain. We already recorded the interview.
Ooh, time travel.
We have Ron Funches on the podcast. If you don't know Ron Funches, he'll probably be a household name in the next few years, I would guess. He's extremely funny stand-up comedian. He was on the NBC sitcom Undateable, which
did very well.
Had three successful seasons until they were canceled. But
it'd be in syndication forever.
Yeah, I mean, it was shot live. The last two seasons were shot live, which is crazy. Anyway, comedy specials. He's got a cartoon coming out on Netflix where he plays an alien. He's doing great. Very funny guy. He has an autistic teenage son and who's 13 and fairly low functioning, I would say.
It sounded like he's close to your brother.
You think? I don't know. He has like, you know, 150 words.
Okay.
Type thing, I think. My brother, well, We'll play one of his Ron Funches jokes from his album, The Funches of You, which is an extremely funny album. I totally recommend, like I said, like I'll say, you'll hear later for you to download it. But do you want to cue up this joke, jokey joke?
Let's do it, man. This is a joke that Ron talks very personally about his son that you can tell from talking to him for a few minutes even that he loves his son dearly, but he talks about it in a very direct and honest way, man. Let's roll it.
Okay.
I didn't know how to describe raising a child with autism for a very long time until I went to a festival one summer, and then it kind of became clear to me. Because to me, taking care of this child, it's like taking care of your very best friend after they've done way too many shrooms. While you yourself are on a moderate amount of shrooms. I'm not confident with every decision that I'm making. But I know you should not be eating a mouse pad right now. I didn't even know they still made those.
All right, everybody, we are here with a very, very special guest.
Yes.
I put two varies in there.
I heard.
Yeah. Ron Funches, everybody, if you don't know.
Is it egotistical that I hear applause in my head after I hear my name?
We're going to do it again. Welcome, Ron Funches, everybody.
No, I didn't need to. I
did not expect to see
so
him
many
in his
people.
House. We are in his house,
home at my table that still has its Easter decorations on it.
Yeah, so. But you know it's a lovely time of year, and you don't want to just let go of that right away.
No, it's rebirth, springtime.
You got to bask in it. Ron, extremely funny comedian. He also has a son with autism. He was most recently on the NBC comedy, Undateable.
Hit show. Hit show. Must watch
awesome
TV.
Show.
Canceled.
Also canceled. But
you must have watched it. You can't watch. I mean, it was really like, I wish you would. It's not must watch. It's I wish you would have watched.
Well, it was a couple seasons, right? Or was it three seasons?
Three seasons.
So, you know, we could still get syndication. And it was super funny. And it was really original, I thought. And you were also great in it. And I'm not just saying that. But it was good. It was really, really good. And some of you, I'm sure, have seen it. And if you haven't, you can go back and watch it somehow, some way, I'm sure. Do you know how they watch it?
Hulu, probably.
Yeah.
NBC.com. Mm-hmm. I mean, rip it illegally from the internet right now. Who cares?
You got paid.
Yeah, it's no longer a live property.
But, extremely funny comedian, but we're the main reasons why we're happy to have you, obviously, because this is a podcast about autism, living with autism. Well, a lot of you have that experience.
Yeah.
You and Kirk have a lot in common. You're both comedians who have autistic children. How old is your son?
My son's 13.
And what's his name?
Malcolm.
If you know, yeah, Malcolm. Okay. I was going to ask if you didn't mind, but you do have... a track name on your album called Malcolm, mm-hmm. which is extreme. The whole thing. The album's great, by the way.
Yeah, that's a great track. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's a great track.
I love the end, my favorite part, when you... we'd love to be able to play that. Not the pancakes. What's the very last bit where he said... Okay, I'm getting sidetracked. But
we'll ask you off air, and then we'll figure it out. But anyway, it's a great bit. You should definitely download his album. What's the name of the album again?
It's called The Funches of Us. You can get it on iTunes or Amazon or wherever. Or you can buy it as an album if you want a physical copy to hold.
I downloaded it. I didn't buy an album because... I don't have a compact disc player, but it's a really great album. I can't recommend it enough. But yeah, you and Kirk have a lot in common. I mean, we're going to ask you a few questions. Kirk, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Yeah.
We have a lot of listeners who ask me, okay, like if you had something you would tell to a young parent who had a just recently diagnosed kid with autism, so maybe he's three or two, and what would you tell them? So I've answered this question a bunch of times. What would you tell them? Like, if you, this is a young father, young mother, and they found out their son or daughter's autistic, and...
I mean, it's hard to... I mean, because it's... I guess the best thing I would tell them, and it'd be hard for you to even accept, is just to be like, this is okay. You know, this right. is fine. This is, it's just another thing. This is not mm-hmm. a difference from if you had a child who had a different type of disability, who you know, maybe they, you know, were parallel. You know, different things. I don't want to compare it to, right. to another thing. But it's just like, oh, this is just something different, and it doesn't mean it in the world, and it doesn't mean you have to change your... the things that you want for your kid. For me, it just changed as far as like me wanting specific things, as far as me being, and all of those things would have never happened anyway, where I was like, oh, I want him to go in the NBA.
That's exactly right. we talk about this all the time. I play college basketball, so NBA was like, I was like, okay, if I did this level, if I taught him when he was younger, he could do this, he could at least go D-League, he could play in Germany for a little bit, he could, yeah, so surrendering those dreams you have for your kid, yeah.
Yeah, some of that is, it has to be there. And
surrendering the dream of your kid being in the D-League.
Well, you gotta be realistic.
Yeah, you're like, well,
bone thin white guy.
Seem like he wants to stay on the court. So it's gonna be difficult. I guess it was getting rid of expectations, but never losing hope on anything.
Right.
Because there were times where
that's like, awesome.
My son didn't speak at all. Like he had speech when he at the normal time you would expect him to, and then he lost it.
My son the same thing.
And so it was like a very difficult thing for us. And it was a time where we're like, I don't ever know if he's ever going to say anything to me.
Right.
He's going to say, I love you. These are the things. And I had to. And I always wanted them. I'm like, well, if it doesn't happen, it's okay. But it was never a thing where it was like, well, we're still going to go to therapy. They're going to go try to push these things. And so it was just like, you work hard while at the same time going like, I don't have to expect anything from him. This is my son, and I love him however he is. But I still am going to go push him, and so that I know I'm going to die at some point. And so I'm hoping at that point, he can either take care of himself, or I put him in a position where he has a good community around him and a support group around him that he will no longer need me.
That's
what gets me up and makes me go to work is to pursue that goal, to make sure that when I'm not around, he is still well taken care of. So
planned obsolescence of the father. Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about that in the past. Yeah. That's my father's biggest goal.
He's still working on it.
Yeah. For me. And he's like my, I've said this before, I mean, his biggest goal for my brother is less severe than I know Kirk's son, and I believe your son.
My son was like potty trained at 10, so he says now he's 17, he says like 10 things, but it's mostly no bath, no shower, no food, no pants.
No pants is a big one.
I don't want to.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. When son's sassy, though, he just was like, and that's the funny part where it's like, there's all the times where I wish you would talk, and then now I asked him to take out the trash, and he just went, nah. This is what I'm
That's what you
for.
Could say?
Yeah. Not even a no. I couldn't even be worth a no. Nah.
That's another word, though. Nah. How is he? So he's not nonverbal, right?
No, he's pretty verbal. Most of it is you have to prompt it from him. He's very mimic. He
parent,
you know,
stuff.
And you just kind of prompt him, and again, you get the yes or no answers. And there's a lot been going on more now. I have him in a mixed class. There's a lot of different students of a lot of different abilities. Some of them behavioral. Some of them, just like dealing with some different disorders. And so he gets to kind of deal with a lot of different people, and he's becoming more confident and aggressive and more initiating speech in that regard,
right.
And that's been great. Yeah, it's been one of the best things to see him just
that's awesome
come in and then just talk about things, and he speaks in a lot of catchphrases.
Does he use a lot of movies, because both are my son
yeah
used a
oh
lot of,
yeah I mean
quote.
Like he'll just sit and he'll I mean just old stuff though he'll just go you just sit right and just go yabba dabba doo. Yeah, man. Yeah. That is a great way to start the day. always, and just his own little catchphrases. He's always just been like, you know, just little three-word phrases that he speaks in, and that's it. I forgot. I mean, I kind of lost track of what this was. Yeah,
you're on it, man. You're on it.
What's his favorite food?
His favorite food is pizza. He likes dry things mostly. He likes cheese pizza, extra sauce, nothing else on it. These are the things. I'll just tell you everything he eats. He eats bacon. He eats a hamburger plain with nothing on it, and he likes French fries.
Will eat the bread too, or just the meat?
He'll eat the meat eat bread the sometimes.
Separately,
he likes to take the French fries with the ketchup. Thank you, and make little French fry sandwiches.
Okay,
but for the most part, he doesn't like the bread. And then
he's into ketchup though.
He loves
my
ketchup.
Son. I wrote a book called Rice Krispies with Ketchup, because that's like his favorite. Like, he likes to mix it, likes the texture of the Rice Krispies, the crunchiness, and then
I get
he likes
it.
The
it's sugar, right? It's both sugar.
The ketchup is vinegar and sugar, so it's like tangy and sweet. Yeah.
No, I get it. mostly lately, he's just being a real like bully jerk. Like, if he sees you eat something that he doesn't, because his diet is so limited, he'll just like get on your case about it and call you like you're. That's the best thing about it. It's like, to him, his world is 100% correct, and you're the fucking weirdo. I'm sorry, I know you can't curse on your thing.
No big deal. So he'll get on you.
Yeah. So it's just like, I mean, like a tuna sandwich, and he'll just come over and he'll just be like, weird burger.
Like you're the weirdo.
Yeah, it's a weird burger. Too weird.
Fair.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah.
I get it.
I totally get it. He's absolutely right. And that's been the best thing about him. He helped me cut through a lot of like tradition and a lot of just doing things for pomp and circumstance, like where he'll just be like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, like some things with, well, like he likes the tradition now of Christmas. He likes waiting. But when he was younger, he like, he knew there were gifts and he knew there were things. And then I just be like, you got to wait for Santa Claus. You got to wait for Santa Claus. And he just goes, that's dumb. And I'm just like, you know what? You might be right.
That's funny. What do you share with him? Like you were talking about Christmas, like the things you guys connect with. I like struggle to find things that my son and I do. So he likes
it's
to,
mostly video games. Video That's games? Our big okay. connection. He's a big gamer. And so, I mean, he likes most of the games I don't like. He likes a lot of racing games.
Okay.
And he also usually is like, since he's 13, he's like, leave. He'll just be like, go to your room.
And are they current games?
Like, yeah, but he likes everything. Like, right. he likes any racing game of any era. He likes them all. He has them all. That's kind of one of his, big...
Like car racing games? Really?
Yeah, that's a little OCD. So he has to buy both, like, he has an Xbox 360 and a PlayStation 3, and he has to buy the same copy of the game for each system. And he needs the manual in the box.
I'm guessing he's good at it, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's real good at it. And so it's just a big collection. But we'll play a lot of this game called Metal Slug. That I liked when I was younger, and then he found it he liked, and then a lot of cartoons. Like one day, he came home from school, and I was watching Dexter's Lab, and he freaked out. He just comes up, he goes like, "Daddy likes Dexter's Lab," and I go, "Yeah," and he goes, "Malcolm likes Dexter's Lab." We just watched Dexter's Lab.
He seems like a really sweet, cute guy.
Yeah,
he's not according to your jokes.
He's a both. He's a sweetheart, but he's like, I need the things that I need. I only eat these things, and I want these things, and that's always been the issue, especially when I was younger and didn't have any money. Where I was just like, oh.
And you're a young man too now.
Yeah. I'm 33. Mm-hmm. I had him when I was 20. And like, he likes watching ESPN. He likes sports. He likes cable. And so, and then there were times where I couldn't afford cable. And if it went out, he did not stop talking about it until it came back. He would just be like, cable coming back. Cable back today, right?
He is the reason you work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, I'd be living in a straw hut happy if it wasn't for him.
Were you doing comedy when you had him?
No. He was kind of the reason why I started, because it kind of was a pendulum. I was a big stoner, still, but a big, more of a stoner loser.
Right.
Working at a grocery store, and then I found out that I was going to have my son, and so then I was like, I better get it together. And so I got a job at a bank. And I was like, I'm going to be a banker.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this 401k, and I'm going to just do this. And I hate it, and I don't like it, but who cares?
Yeah.
And then when he was diagnosed with autism, because he was pretty young. He got diagnosed when he was about 2 and a half.
Uh-huh. And you're
22, 23. Mm-hmm. And so then it kind of broke me back the other way. And there were a few incidents that happened where I was freaked out, and I was like, what does this mean? I mean, well, the diagnosis itself was kind of like a blessing, because for a while, we were just like, what's wrong?
Something's clearly wrong. Yeah.
Right.
What is wrong?
At least you can put a label on it. You're like, okay,
yeah.
Something's happening.
I remember that when I was a kid, my parents were relieved. It was earlier because my brother's 31. So it was the 90s. But even when he was 12, when they gave him a diagnosis, it was just a huge relief.
Yeah, because you feel like you're not crazy.
You feel like you're swimming in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, and also, I mean, especially when we were young, poor parents, it was a lot of people looked at us, they were just like, oh, you're bad parents.
You're bad parents.
Right.
Yeah.
Bad parents. Yeah. You're bad at this.
Control that kid.
Yeah, and it's just like, I mean, I'm just like, well, I mean, he's consistently only sleeping from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Like, it's not like I'm like keeping him up. Like, we turn all the lights off. Everything out, and he would just sleep for a year period from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Every day, and then just be up the rest of the day. No naps, no nothing.
Wow.
And it was, and I was working at that bank from my job started at 5:45. And so it was rough. And I just kind of freaked out. And I remember one time, me and my ex-wife, we went to a park, and we saw a group of disabled adults. who were there with their caretakers, and they weren't necessarily being cared for properly. They were being more treated as I would have if they were, like, I don't think, especially here in L.A., people would have liked the people talking to their dogs the way that these people were talking to these people. And
where was this?
This is in Salem, Oregon. Okay. And just really, because I mean, you and you can understand it. And like, who are the people that are going to be drawn to this job? Mm-hmm. Two types, two heads of this coin. One is going to be a real altruist, a real nun, a real great person who's trying to make a difference. Mm-hmm. The other is going to be a person who needs power and control and doesn't have it. And find it in some place where someone can't speak up against them.
I didn't think of that. It's true, though.
And so I was like, I can never have my son in that position. And so I was like, I need to make money. And I was like, I need to either go to college and do something. And so I knew that was a roadblock because I was like, I can't even think of the thing. I don't even know the thing that I would do to make money.
That's a problem.
And I was like, I always just love comedy. I love stand-up. Written jokes in my, you know, in my phone and in my notebooks, but just wouldn't go say them. Just would, and I mean, even my communications, I wasn't communicating with people. We couldn't have this type of conversation. Uh-huh. I was always looking for like a joke. I was like, oh, you made a conversation mistake. Here's a joke that I can do on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I did it, because I was just looking for a place to perform. Yeah. And then when I had my son, I was like, oh, okay. He's different, and I'm different, and that's okay, mm-hmm. and I'm going to have to defend him, and if I'm going to defend him, I should be able to defend me, and if I know what I want to do, mm-hmm. I'm just afraid that people will be like, you know, because, you know, you just look at it, and you're like, oh, maybe you're anointed that. Someone just is like, you're a comedian, you're an actor, you're a thing, and I was like, oh, I can't do that. I'm just, you know, I just like comedy, mm-hmm. but it's just like... no, I mean, this is what I want to do, and either now I'm going to do it or not. And it's crazy to me now. And my mom was supportive for a little bit. She backed away from her support, and now she's back at full support.
Yeah. When Sonny Boy gets a TV show, you get back on the bandwagon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, I want to give the full range, and I don't mean it to sound as a disrespect to her. It makes sense.
It makes sense.
She concerned
was
about
like,
you.
Yeah, she was like, oh, yeah, you were doing this when you have... My son was already 2.
Yeah.
And then she was like, okay, if you're going to do it, do a full force and do it. And so I did. And then year 2, 3, 4, it goes by. And she's still paying my phone bill, and she's like, oh, maybe this isn't gonna work out for you. You should have done it by now, as far as I know, you know. Yeah. And she, you know, because they don't know, you know. I know.
I'm a year 10, dude. I get it.
Yeah, you know, I'm a student of history. I know that you're like, you, no matter what, you need experience.
Yeah.
No matter how good you are, you're gonna need experience.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I don't have that experience yet, but I gotta keep doing it. And it was a real rough time in my life and in relationships with my mom, because it was a lot of being like, her being like, you're hurting your family.
Yeah.
You should quit comedy, do it on the weekends, maybe go get a job at a Aldi's, is what she always pitched. Which, you know, if you have listeners in the Midwest, they'll know what I'm talking about.
It's like a Trader Joe's in the Midwest.
It's, yeah, but worse. They're like, especially when I was a kid, there was a place where you would get like second rate food, and it would not be uncommon for you to open up your bags of cereal and find like bugs in it. Like, so you're like, well, I didn't luck out on this one. And so that's what her big pitch was for me.
Bug food.
You can manage the
bug food store.
Bad grocery store. And I was just like, look, you know, I have my own doubts and I have my own issues, and I can't have you back them up. You know, I need you to support.
That's
the
so
other
difficult,
side
man.
But
I see the other side of it. I have a neurotypical daughter who's 18, mm-hmm. and now she's starting college. And so you're like, you have these thoughts as a parent where you're like, crap, I'd like you to not suffer. So like, she's talking about being a theater major, and I'm like, whoa, you can do the arts if you want, but if there's anything else you're interested in.
Oh yeah, I get totally the other feel it as a parent. Yeah. I feel it with my son, where I'm just like, oh, why don't you, you know, I'm all now because he's 13 and he's like, yeah, and I just like, you know, we can't use your autism as an excuse. You're still 13, you're a male, you're half black. You can't be lazy. We can't have you sitting around acting lazy because you're like, who cares? I'm going to do things that my dad makes money. Because he gets it. He knows. He's like, let's Postmate it. And I'm like, you don't make money. No, let's walk. Let's go there. You know? And it's just... it's a struggle to keep him humble.
that affluence that affects those kids, yeah, of successful parents.
I think any son, I think agree. That's a big, I remember from my childhood, I mean, obviously, I don't have a kid, but that just seems like that's like a part of a dad, whether they have autism or not. It's like, especially 13.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, about instilling discipline. Yeah. And it can be a big issue as far as knowing, like, is this an issue with... that relates to autism.
He always talks
or
about that.
Is this religion?
Is he being a jerk?
Yeah.
I used to do a bit where like he used to shove peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in VCRs. That's all that. In VCRs. And so like, is he shoving the peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the VCR because he's autistic or because he's being a little like...
Yeah, or is there, a little mix?
That's the thing. I shouldn't have said that. But yeah, that's the thing, though. You're not knowing the balance of, like, and the punchline's always like, well, if he's doing it like, then you can't punch him. He's like, so anyway, but yeah, that's the balance. Like, how do you know?
Is he seizing while he's doing it?
Exactly.
Or is he an actor? He's been conning me the whole time.
Yeah, and there's a thing that my mom, and she's good with that type of stuff, because I'm a little lenient, because, again, you know.
It's hard to know.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, we're fun, and I'm also like... he's always just been my best friend, and I'm his best friend. And it's just like, he has friends at school and things like that, but he doesn't have the sleepovers. He doesn't have those type of things. Mm. And so I'm like, we do that. We play video games together. Right. We have fun together. We watch wrestling together. Mm. And so it's hard. It becomes a weird mix of being like, oh, you know, yeah, I'm your buddy, but also, you gotta take out the trash, and also I saw you do that, and you can't do that, and you have to be nice.
You're the rules.
Yeah. So it's like a weird balance to try to be all of those things, but it's fun.
Do you find it hard, or are you ever apprehensive to write about him?
Sometimes, comedy, more in the past, I was. I mean, now I'm more. I mean, that's kind of what I want to do. That's my main goal. I want to write a show about him and about me and about just because, like, times I do a lot of stand-up gigs and I go out on the road and some of the things people come up to me, and if they have autistic family members, they're very just like, thank you. You know, they're just like, thank you for being open and honest and not making fun of them, but also not being like gloves off. You know,
it's
just
shying away from the truth.
This is your kid and this is your life. Yeah. And I was like, this is fun and this is a great thing. And so that's my main goal is to make a show about like what our lives would be like if I didn't do comedy and what it was like when we struggled and it was rough. Because I feel like that's been very important to talk about because there's a lot of people out there who are struggling about these things because you don't see the disability. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for people to take that you need help, you know? And so I think that if I can shed any type of light on that, and especially in a humorous way, that would be a noble goal, noble pursuit.
To make it acceptable to ask for help?
Yeah, to ask for help and to know that sometimes maybe you need to be to preach for empathy. I think empathy is very important and sometimes very frowned upon lately, where it's very much, I listen to a lot of rap music, and it's usually like, me and my friends are the best, you and your friends suck. And that's the main thing, you know? It's like, if that's all of you saying that, then that's everybody's going through the same thing. Yeah. You're all going through the same struggle. Mm-hmm. And so you need to have empathy about that and maybe look at people and not be like, oh, that's a bad parent because their kid's screeching in the middle of a restaurant. You know, maybe like, oh, maybe there's something going on that I don't understand. And that's all I need to know. You don't have to be like, oh, I know a lot about autism and I get it and I know what's going on with you and your family. All you have to be is like, oh, you know what? Maybe I don't get it.
Yeah.
I did a bit about basically how my son's not having a tantrum at Lion at Safeway to ruin your day. Like, this is my life. He's not trying to screw up your day. This is his experience. Yeah, his little meltdown. And you were saying about autism, there's no real telltale signs Other than my son has like tactile issues, so he doesn't like clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So he likes to get naked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do a bit about, you know, you can't really tell he's naked. I'm in a line. This guy's like, control your son. You know, and I'm like, hey, be compassionate. He's autistic. And the guy's like, how am I supposed to know that? You can't tell. And I'm like, he's naked. I was like, this is Walmart. So you do like this whole back and forth. But there's a lot of times you can't tell. And
yeah.
So I think people, if they knew, like, I almost think sometimes like with Down syndrome, you see a child with Down syndrome, you know there's Down syndrome, and you would automatically give them a little more leeway. Yeah,
I think
yeah.
it's getting better, though.
I do, too.
I think I've noticed, at least especially in the last couple years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then it's just...
Autism is in the news more.
It is, but you still can't tell when you meet a kid or an adult that they're autistic. And so I think, other than the clothes, yeah.
And then just finding, because like, you know, like, what I think about it is like my son needs a job, you know?
Right.
And, you know, so someone's going to have to hire him. And I want to make sure that he has a good job and he has opportunities to pursue his passions. And that's important to me. And I feel, and that's, I mean, I like the things like the Doug Flutie Foundation. Like he does a lot of stuff with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just think that that's very important.
Are there, where does he live right now?
My son?
Yeah.
He lives here. He'll be home in about an hour.
Oh, awesome. Do you feel like there is enough programs in California to sort of set people like your son on the right path to get a job training wise and sort of
I mean there's a lot of programs again, but it's a very monetary based there's a lot of options depending on how much money you have.
Oh really?
Okay. And I mean the public schools here are definitely, I mean the comparative to Oregon where I lived before are better as far as having more programs and being more knowledgeable about it. And again, but I think it depends on place by place nature and who's dealt with it before. And you have to just look into schools who have strong autism programs and things. But even now, my son doesn't necessarily go to a school with a great, they have a great overall program. It's not necessarily dealing with autism. But that's what I'm looking for. I mean, that's my biggest concern right now. It's like, what am I going to do for high school? You know, I don't know. I have no idea. So part of me wants to be like, is there a fun little boarding school that he can go to where he can learn a little independence? Maybe go for 4 days, come back or something of that nature. But
yeah, and I think it's those decisions are so personal and so tough to do. Like me and I was married 17 years. And me and my ex used to disagree on that stuff. Like I think those are so, you have honest, well-intentioned good people that just disagree on schooling. Like, oh, I think you should, because I felt the same way. I was like, he needs 24-hour care. You know, he wasn't potty trained. You know, you still have an accident. You're like, and he doesn't sleep also. And I don't know if this happened to you, but full moons, he'd stay up all night, which is once a month, he'd be up all night. And so it's just a lot. Like, so you're like, shoot, I think you need the physical resource. Somebody has to literally watch him, you know, and I need to sleep sometimes.
Yeah.
So I think those are tough calls that like good, well-intentioned people disagree on. Yeah,
and there's always, I mean, they're just individual cases and what's best for your kid. So, and again, I'm just struggling with it, but I think the best thing is to just meet them head on and not shy away from them. I mean, that's the biggest thing is just you don't want to sit around in denial when you know something could be an issue. Yeah, I mean, I think I did that for a little bit because I just wanted to be like, nothing's wrong with my kid. He's great. You know?
Let's talk about that because we have that letter. We get a lot of letters about that. Like people will say, I think my niece is disabled, is autistic, but her mom won't listen to me. And so how do you deal with that? Because I know that's really common that people, it's clear. They say the signs. I'm like, well, that's it's clearly autistic, but you can't. Sometimes people can't do it.
Yeah,
so
I mean, what do you think? Again, you want them to just deal with it and realize that it's not the end of the world. And again, that's the best thing I can say is just meet it as it was any other challenge. But that's their kid, so you can't really force them to do anything.
They got to come to
them tomorrow. You could say, hey, there's some issues I've just noticed some things, but you can't. You have to be very careful with your tone, and you have to be willing to be like, oh, I'm not going to be able to talk to them for a little bit. odds are they already have some inklings.
Right.
And if you go in there and say something, you're gonna ruffle some feathers.
You're the reason my son's autistic.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you said it. If you didn't say it, it's not happening. It's not real.
Exactly. But sometimes the thing about being a good person is biting that bullet.
That's what being a good friend's about sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I think, I mean...
Do you have any last... I think we should maybe wrap it up. Do you have any last things you want to... Any points?
Any advice? Anything to our listeners?
I mean, I would just say enjoy the lessons that you can learn from my... I learned so much from my son. I learned a lot about the values of silence and not and that talking is overrated, which is a weird thing for a comedian to maybe say.
Yeah.
But... it's one thing I fully believe. There's a strong value in being silent and listening and taking things in, and that's the one thing I always know about him is like, man, he takes in everything.
Right.
He might not be able to regurgitate it back to you, and that's where there's a disconnect, and that's where there's a lot of frustration in him, and that's some things that we have to deal with. Where I'm like, oh man, I know you have things you want to get out, and you're having trouble, and I'll be patient, and we'll figure it out together if you be patient with me, and I would just say just relax and just embrace your life, and you'll never not love your kid either way, or your relative or whoever this is to you, or if it's you, this is your life and you're great however you are, and it's wonderful, and you're special and you're unique, and you're here to teach us a lot of lessons,
right?
And I firmly believe that, and I appreciate that, and I feel blessed and lucky to be entrusted with guarding such a treasure.
Holy cow. I'm humbled by that answer. Yeah, that's a great answer.
You're
man.
A bad person. You're selfish, bad person. I started to realize that in my later teens about my brother, that I'm lucky. I mean, he made everyone in my family a more caring, less selfish person. And I'm inherently not as selfish as I would be if he wasn't around. You just learn things, and you learn how to share and care for somebody. And also the way he interacts with the world and the way he looks at me and the way we talk to each other, I have more love in my life from what I can see than other people who have neuronormative brothers. Half of them don't even like their brother. Don't talk to their brother. it's very rare that you're like so close. But I'm extremely close to my brother, and I talk to him every day for 10 minutes. And we talk like I wouldn't have anyone to talk to this about the Simpsons to. I like to have a nice 10-minute powwow about the Simpsons daily. It just makes you a better person, I think. Anyway, just to piggyback off what you were saying. Your album is phenomenal. Can you tell our listeners what it is one more time?
Yeah, it's called The Funches of Us. You can get it on iTunes.
FUNCHES.
Mm-hmm. And Funches. Then the rest of the words, I hope you can spell.
O-F.
And then I'm just Ron Funches on Twitter. And you can find me on Instagram. I'm just touring, doing things. I have a cartoon called Home coming out in July for Netflix, where I play a sassy space alien.
Awesome.
Check that out.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's it, really.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's nice.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. We love you. Well,
I thought that was an amazing interview. What a great guy.
Yeah. I was just like slack-jawed at the end. I was like, what? Wow, that was good. You do talk for a living. That was really good.
Yeah. No, I love interviewing comics because you don't have to.
I know. I made the mistake of kind of trying to talk to him beforehand. I'm like,
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows. You just let him go. And obviously he's thought a lot about it and cares a lot about it. And so it made our job very easy. We hope you enjoyed it.
It was great. Next week, guys, we're back to our regular format. We'll do a week in review and back to our regular format next week.
Yeah. And as always, you can donate to us at patreon.com/autastic, patreon.com/autastic. You guys get it. For $1 an episode or more, you can help us keep doing this. We really appreciate it.
Your money goes towards hosting the website and creating a quality podcast, which we'd like to continue doing for as long as possible. Thank you so much, guys.
Also, don't forget to tell your friends about this podcast. Give us a good review on iTunes if you haven't already. Share it. That's the biggest one. I'm at Graham K Comedy.
I'm at Kirk Smith Comedy.
You sure are.
Insta, Twitter, Facebook, find me.
Me too. Only with my name. Okay, thanks very much. We love you guys. You guys are the best.
Bye.
I have a 12-year-old son, which makes me feel old, but I'm young, so it just makes me feel real fucking irresponsible. He lives with just me, which I love, because I get to go out and do shows, come home and bake him cookies, and I'm like, look at me, I'm Murphy Brown, doing it all. It's fun. He's a cool kid. I know a lot of parents say their kids are cool, but in my case, it's just a fact. My son is like if you shrunk down a gangster rapper. He's always shirtless and eating fried chicken and cursing. He's real bad with money. He's a cool kid. He has autism. He's also a bit of an asshole. Some people don't really like it when I call my 12-year-old disabled child an asshole. To which I always respond, if you only use about 30 words and your three favorite are more pancakes, biatch. Actually, that's pretty cool. I like that. That's probably the next single off his album. Thank you.